You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire yesterday. We are going to continue our discussion about the Republican vice presidential nominee's concepts of a plan about the child care crisis in this country. Mm-hmm. And he also had some comments about hospitals closing.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about that. Dr. Laura Hanks will be here at 11:33 for public service announcement. If you ever have a medical question for her, feel free to email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If there's a topic you want us to talk about, if there's a guest you think we should reach out to, please send us an email. That's the easiest way to get right to the show. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. All right, it is time.
What time is it, Jane?
It's time to go for the green or gold, our statewide text to win contest. Every hour that we play, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m., there is a keyword we give to you at in those hours. Grab your Civic Media app. Open up the app.
Yes.
Go to WAUK.
Yeah.
Click the text button. Mm-hmm. Text this word.
What's the word?
Fun.
Boom.
F-U-N.
Fun.
Not sun.
Or one.
Or bun.
Ton.
Not that either. The word is fun. F-U-N. And you're playing for either $100 in cash or gold jewelry. I believe this hour is some gold jewelry.
Ooh.
And then everyone who enters picks up a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay, Monday, December 23rd, against New Orleans. The word to text in this hour is fun, F-U-N. You have until noon to get that in. And it's my understanding, Greg Bach, that once you respond, you are given some options about potentially signing up to get our newsletter.
Yeah.
Or signing up to follow someone.
Yeah.
And I think you get another entry.
You get another entry. I believe it's a one-time thing. I want to make that clear.
Right.
We had a debacle last time. But yeah, you get extra, you get more chances to enter. So when you get that prompt back, follow the link and it'll take you where you need to be and it'll get you another entry.
And give you a couple options on how to do that as well. And I think one of them is just to make sure that you're registered to vote.
Yes.
And that we really do want to make sure that you are registered to vote.
Correct. Correct. And the entries are pouring in for the word fun. F as in fun, U as in fun, N as in fun.
Fun is the word.
There
All right. Continuing our conversation about J.D. Vance. Now I have to go back and find him with all of these entries pouring in. We were talking about child care. J.D. Vance yesterday in Eau Claire, essentially with no recommendations on how to fix the child care crisis in the country, except that, yes, we have one.
Yes.
And maybe, you know, if we could get grandparents to retire and then they could watch your kids, seem to be sort of the gist of a concept of an idea.
And and doing away, I guess, with the pesky block grants that are out there and giving it to the parents. Nary an idea in sight with old JD. And he didn't stop there.
No, he didn't.
No.
A couple texts I want to get to. Michaela from West Bend, listening on WAUK. We are so fortunate that my sister-in-law is willing and able to watch her son, but it still isn't free. And I am very aware that many people aren't as fortunate. Absolutely. Michaela, that's great that you have a support system and someone who can do that and you trust to do that. Michaela also says, though, we worked opposite shifts for the first 2.5 years of his life because daycare just wasn't an option. We never saw each other. It was a terrible strain on our relationship. Geez, Michaela, maybe, I don't know, JD probably would have said, well, you should quit.
Yeah, you should quit.
I mean, you're missing your true calling. Like the woman who's the texter who said they pay $20,000 a year and it's the best money they ever spent because she loves her job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sorry, ladies, but we can't get enjoyment from our jobs. We're supposed to be getting our enjoyment from being mothers.
It's not your purpose to enjoy life, Jane. I know. Your purpose is to have babies, take care of babies, raise babies, and then have more babies. We also had Chuck from East Troy and Lynn from Oconomowoc call in, both grandparents helping their kids out with their grandchildren. And while I'm not going to assume for either one of them, of course, they're your children and grandchildren. You're there for them. That doesn't mean there can be a strain on your time, your car, your finances, all those things. It's not like grandparents can just snap their fingers and go, yep, I'm here to help. That will encroach on their life as well. It can't go without saying and be or recognized.
And not every grandparent is suitable for that role.
Correct.
I loved my mother. We all loved our mother. Mm-hmm. She was not a cookie baking kind of grandma.
Yeah.
She just wasn't.
Well, if Bridget and I had a child now, I love my mother to death. I love my mother-in-law to death. Like, I really, truly do. But I wouldn't ask them to look after the child because they're going to be 80. And that's a lot to ask of them.
It's a lot to ask of somebody who's in their 60s.
Exactly. So, like, it's just that blanket, like, yeah, whatever. Like, does he think all grandparents are 42 years old?
Someone on the live stream, it was Andrew, said, JD's concept of a plan, send the kids to JD's house so his mother-in-law can take care of them. Yeah, because he was really lucky. I mean, his mother-in-law came over from India.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets to do that.
No, and if you have that opportunity, great.
That's wonderful.
You're so lucky.
Calvin?
Yeah, my mom stayed home with us until I was in third or fourth grade. And I know in the summer, we always babysat my cousins and stuff. That wasn't always a fun experience for the kids either.
Right.
Me and my cousins didn't always get along. I didn't always like hanging out with them all the time, all summer. So it's...
And being the adult, and being the adult when you're still a kid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I wouldn't even necessarily go that I had to do that, but it's certainly going from me, my brother, and the sister in the house to me, my brother, and sister, and four cousins in the house.
Yeah, that's insta-family right there. And also, you know, like I had a friend who owns some daycares, and she told Bridget and I straight, she goes, if you have a kid, I'll give you daycare for free. We almost considered having a child because one of the things about the whole having a child thing is the tremendous amount of money you're going to spend on that part. Even if it's a year of their life, 2 years of their life, that's 20 to 40, if not more money. It's so disconcerting. And to hear J.D. Vance just, whatever, it's fine. The federal government doesn't get it. You get it because your parents grant. It's so infuriating.
Kirk in Eau Claire listening on WCFW. Yep, J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire again. The event was near my work. I have to say, not nearly the same crowds and traffic as when the Harris Walls campaign was here.
Would you say the rally was tinier?
I think smaller. Kirk is implying a smaller size.
Smaller rally?
One could say. And Steve from Milwaukee, mainstream media shouldn't be normalizing this shouldn't be a thing.
Agreed.
And that's kind of why we're doing that now as the segment to round out the end of the show. Some of them will be more lighthearted, others not so much.
Yeah.
But there's a lot there's too much of that going on. This shouldn't be a thing.
We called it we talked about it on Pat's show, we talked about it on this show. Sane washing.
Yes.
Where they take this absolute gobbledygook and they make it seem like, "Oh, J.D. Vance came to Eau Claire." Well, what did he say? What did he actually say? He said that moving the goalpost, double standards. I'm going to keep saying it until election day. This is what it is. It's, you know, Kamala Harris has to work 10 times harder to get as much, to get even in the polls.
Absolutely.
Well, this guy has it gets so angry about this stuff. It's because he's got such an unlikable face.
Tony Zimmerman on the live stream. My mother told me before we had kids, she is the grandma, not the babysitter.
Agreed. I have a problem asking my mothers to watch our dog. I couldn't imagine being like, hey, look after my kid.
For a couple years.
Yes.
For a couple years.
And once again, shout out to Chuck and Lynn who called and told, I know that you love them and I know that you were there for them and I love you for that, but I know it had to have been hard too. And good on, wonderful on you for just making the sacrifice.
Yes, because it is.
Yes.
Also, while J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire yesterday, he was talking about the state of our hospitals and rural hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what the situation is in western Wisconsin, right where he was.
Yes.
Hospitals, three of them.
Two of them.
Two of them just closed.
Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire lost two rural hospitals.
So here is Mr. Vance's comments yesterday on hospitals. Kellen.
James Kelly with Civic Media. Right now in the Chippewa Valley, we're facing a healthcare crisis with the abrupt closure of two hospitals earlier this year, as well as a number of clinics. I'm glad you mentioned providing actual concrete answers to questions. What concrete plans would your administration have to protect rural healthcare access?
So there are a couple things here. So first of all, this goes back to the immigration issue.
What?
And why does it go back to the immigration issue? Because a lot of our rural hospitals are bearing the burden of providing health care to millions of people who shouldn't be in this country to begin with. And so those hospitals go bankrupt, and then a lot of American citizens can't afford health care. Now, you might not think that rural health care access is an immigration issue. I guarantee it is an immigration issue, because we're bankrupting a lot of hospitals by forcing these hospitals to provide care for people who don't have the legal right to be in our country. We've got to stop that. Kick these illegal aliens out. Focus on American citizens, and we will do a lot to make the business of rural healthcare much more affordable. Now, there are a couple of other things that we can do, too. So one option, and this is something that President Trump is very proud of, and rightfully so, he provided a lot of choice to veterans in healthcare because, look, a lot of folks in rural areas, they live maybe 15 minutes away from a viable clinic, but 2 hours away, an hour and a half drive from a VA medical center. So why does it make sense to make a Vietnam veteran drive 3 hours or 4 hours round trip to get health care when it would actually be cheaper for the government and also better access for that veteran to get it 15 minutes away from his home? So give
sure, fair enough.
People,
yeah.
And then that veteran's going to a local service provider, which again makes that business model a little bit more viable.
Okay, Calvin, that's plenty. That's a good thing. And we looked it up. And yes,
2017.
In 2017, Donald Trump did do this, which allowed, from what I understand, veterans to go to a local hospital instead of the closest VA in order to get treatment. That's a good thing. But you're still not talking about the state of our hospitals, except for apparently immigrants are responsible for everything.
You're slagging off immigrants and sucking up to veterans.
It's all their fault.
No solutions.
Mark and Gene, I see you on the line. Please stay close and hang on. We will be right back. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
What else to do about it? James. James.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join the conversation, call, text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our Go for the Green and Cold statewide text to win contest is underway this hour. The word to text via the Civic Media app is FUN. F-U-N. FUN. Text the word FUN on the app up until noon today, and you are in the running either for $100 in cash or some stylish gold jewelry. And one person, when this all wraps up, from all of the contesting hours, will pick up a pair of indoor club-level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So text in the word FUN, F-U-N, until noon today. Todd will have the next word for you in the 1 o'clock hour during his show. J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire yesterday talking about everything is immigrants' fault. Apparently, blaming the hospital closures in western Wisconsin on hospitals treating all of these millions of illegal immigrants and people who use the emergency room as their primary source of health care. I'm pretty sure it's not just immigrants who do that.
No, and I reached out to Dr. Lyerly, who will be on the show hopefully next week, to talk about this thing specifically because she works in rural hospitals. And I just wanted to read your I want to read you her response to the email as far as what he said. She said, oh yeah, I have opinions. I work in those settings and take care of the hardworking immigrants who are there, wait for it, legally, doing the hard jobs that we aren't willing to do. I have a feeling we're going to see a very different Dr. Kristen Lierley on when she's, because this is close to her.
Yes.
And this is important. We've been talking about these hospitals for a long time. Two hospitals, 19 medical facilities, 1,400 jobs lost. I don't think that has to do with the overwhelming immigrant population in Western Wisconsin,
I mean,
J.D. Vance.
And even the situation in Springfield, Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, services are being overtaxed. The schools are being overtaxed. This isn't just because of immigrants.
No.
It's just not. Mark from Prairie du Sec, thank you for your patience. Gene, we'll get to you next, and then Robert. Thank you for joining us, Mark. What did you want to say about this?
There's simply, you know, as Bron commented on the Game of Thrones, there simply is no cure for these guys. You know, he's referring to Joffrey Baratheon, the mad, bad king, that these guys just say whatever the hell they want. They're as evil as they can be because, and maybe I'm being hyperbolic, I mean, that I've retired my Captain America punching out Donald Trump shirt, T-shirt, and I'm not wearing that anymore.
Good.
You know, it was fun to wear back in, you know, when Trump was president. But I mean, it is, you know, to try to tone down the rhetoric. But I mean, these people simply do not care. Their connection to the truth is not even there. I mean, that if they're saying the truth is it's by accident, and that it is just to blame the immigrants for like the hospital closures there in the Eau Claire area, that's just absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish. And that I can't say the word that apparently the MSNBC person said, and then she immediately apologized for. But I mean, it's a tragedy that we can't use some of those words. Because in some cases, it is just that.
It's the accurate word. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Well, and this is in WPR today. When J.D. Vance was asked by a reporter yesterday if he had a responsibility to verify claims before repeating them. And again, this goes back to the Haitians eating cats and dogs in Springfield, Ohio.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance said the media has the responsibility to fact check. So he essentially said, I can lie as much as I want and I will continue to lie. Mm-hmm. It's on you guys to find the lie.
And they have been. And then he says, how dare you?
Yeah. How dare you?
Shame use? Why are you talking to Kamala about her lies?
Yeah. How do you use? Why are you using my own words against me? Jeannie from Eau Claire. Good morning, Jeannie. Thank you for joining us. You live in Eau Claire, Jeannie, right?
Yeah, I'm a little hot under the collar with that lion sack of dog and cat doo-doo. I went through this myself as family members and a majority of the people who live in this area and in Chippewa and all of these surrounding areas that lost their major hospitals, who lost their major clinics. And then their doctors had to find positions. They had to find places. People were lined up at one of our major hospitals, the only one left in our area, in the halls, waiting to see doctors, waiting to get rooms. Hospitals couldn't do surgeries. That lion sack of doo-doo standing in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, blaming it on immigrants is an outrageous slap in the face to every single person that lives in this area, and I hope they all feel the same way I do because that man is sick. And we're sick of all this lies and illness and putridness of the psychological BS that they're pulling on everybody. And I hope everybody in Eau Claire and the surrounding areas is ticked off as I am because there were a lot of things that happened here. And boom, these hospitals closed like almost overnight. And also the clinics in our area, they had been hacked, their computers, earlier in the year where there was times where you couldn't even get a hold of a doctor. There's a lot of things that led up to this, and it definitely wasn't immigrants. So thank you for letting me blow some steam.
You
off
go, Gene.
Gene, you always have a place to blow some steam with us. We are as hot under the collar as you are, and we appreciate your call.
And your perspective.
Yes.
Again, you're there.
Wes from Middleton, listening to WMDX, says, nurse here, Our capacity issues have precious nothing to do with quote-unquote illegal immigrants, at least in southern Wisconsin. Our healthcare system has been set up to fail, particularly in rural areas, by our government and our insurance structure. And the patients that are overwhelming the systems are good old-fashioned American citizens like you and me. It's disgusting to blame patients for our failing health system and blatant racist dog whistling to say it's the immigrants' fault.
And that's what we're going to hear now for the next 48 days.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that is wrong in this country is because of illegal immigrants.
They're going to start, honestly, they'll start blaming childcare on illegal immigrants.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's just easier than having a thought in your head and a fact in your brain. Jeannie has got me fired up. Gene.
Gene's got us all fired up. Robert from Richland Center, I'm so sorry. We're up against the clock here. We have news coming up next. And then when we come back, Dr. Laura Hanks will be here for our public cervix announcement, so stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. I should just tell you to leave because I know exactly where it leads, but I watch us go round and round each time. You got that gene.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday at this time. Dr. Laura Hanks for public cervix announcement. Dr. Hanks, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the subject we were talking about before we went to the news. J.D. Vance was in Eau Claire yesterday talking about the hospital closures there and essentially blaming it all on illegal immigrants swamping their emergency room systems, and that's why these hospitals closed. We're hearing from people who live in that area who say, yeah, no, that's not what happened. And we also, J.D. Vance was touting this program that they instituted in 2017 for veterans.
Veterans choice.
Jake from Madison texted in, and I want to get this in. J.D. Vance thinks voucherizing the VA was a good idea. It's a costly scam that just dumps more stress on local healthcare systems. Jake in Madison.
Yeah, I mean, all of that's right. I think that it's just another example of how out of touch with reality J.D. Vance is. And this, like, what's the line that Kamala Harris, this tired, old, you know, rhetoric that they keep repeating? And I think, Greg, you were saying it right before the break. It's just they're gonna put in illegal immigration into anything you ask them about from here until the election. And I, like, at first when I was watching it, didn't expect him to say, and I was like, oh, of course that's what he's going to blame. That's all he's got in his back pocket is, like, it has to be their fault. But not, you know, the fact that we don't have enough support for our rural healthcare doctors. And, you know, I was at a meeting this weekend with several of my rural healthcare colleagues, and it is just their stories about what they're working with and how little resources they have and how they, you know, are advocating for their patients out there is truly heroic. And so to just, you know, not recognize that and to blame this false idea of that illegal immigrants are causing all this is honestly offensive.
Well, and I want to say it was either that last week or early this week, they had a hearing in Washington, because there is a hedge fund in Massachusetts that owns like 19 hospitals in Massachusetts, and they just went out of business. And they talked about during testimony how they, because it's when it is profit motive, that's the number one concern, not the care for patients. So this hedge fund this hedge fund that owned these hospitals continued cutting staff, continued cutting, making it to the point where this nurse testified and she said, I didn't want to treat anyone who came in because we didn't have the resources to do this decently. And she said, and I'm also fairly certain that a couple people died because we were so understaffed and so unable to serve our patients because of the profit motive behind these hedge funds. We don't right. want hedge funds owning our medical centers. We don't want our hedge funds owning our schools. I can think of a whole bunch of things I don't want hedge funds to own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We before the break, we had Robert, who we couldn't take on the call, but he did text to us. Robert from Richland Center, listening on WRCE. He said, I'm a physician from Richland Center, retired from clinical practice, but until the end of the year, I am chief of staff, and I also on the hospital board. Disclaimer, he's not talking on behalf of the hospital. This is him. Rural hospitals have challenges, but immigrants are not. That is capitalized, N-O-T, not one of the challenges we are facing. Thank you for that, Richard.
Yeah, thank you for that. Really appreciate it. Yeah. And again, there's all kinds of regular Americans who have to use the emergency room for their health care, right, Dr. Hanks? It's not just immigrants, yeah. and it's not just illegal immigrants. There's all kinds of regular Americans who do that on a regular basis because they don't have health insurance.
Well, and that's getting to a different issue with, the lack of health insurance, the lack of being able to get into a primary care provider. So people become desperate and don't know where else to go. So they go to the emergency rooms. They're clogging up the emergency rooms with not, quote, true emergencies because they can't get in with a primary care. That's causing total burnout with our ER physicians because they're having to essentially run a primary care clinic. And this is where the problem is. this is the problem here. And our physicians and other medical providers are just so burned out, from having to want it, going into this job, wanting to treat and take care of patients, but getting, stuck in these positions where they either can't or they're having to do things that they didn't, necessarily sign up for. And therein lies the problem, not illegal immigration.
This is what we're going to hear for the next 49 days. As you said, mm-hmm. Dr. Hanks, every problem in this country from the Republicans is going to be blamed on immigrants. Everything. Yep. From the cost of gas to the cost of groceries to the cost of everything. Every problem in this country could be solved, according to them, by getting rid of all the immigrants and drilling.
Even the ones who are here legally. I'm looking at you, Springfield, Ohio.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole other thing, and we didn't even have a chance to get to that, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow. The Wall Street Journal has a big piece today about the day J.D. Vance learned that whole lie about the Haitians in Springfield, Ohio. It was September 9th. A member of J.D. Vance's staff called the city manager, and the city manager told them, this is absolutely not true. There is no truth to this rumor. Later that night, Donald Trump went on stage and continued the lie.
Yeah, and it's caused harm. I mean, that's the thing that I've mentioned before is that these lies are causing harm. There were how many bomb threats right after
that?
There
have been like 36 bomb threats.
That poor town is already, struggling. And then they get thrown in this national debate with a complete lie, and people don't know what's right or wrong. People's brains are just so pickled from being online and hearing these lies that they're, believing it. And then endangering the people that Trump and J.D. Vance are supposedly trying to protect. Like, it's just obscene.
Well, even the governor, who is a staunch Republican, has said,
Mike DeWine,
this is garbage what you're talking about. Please stop doing this. And it's having knock-on effects because we're talking about immigrants being in towns. We talked yesterday about a sheriff who said, write down Harrison Wall signs and their properties because we can send those immigrants. They're just creating these narratives all over the country of division and all from lies. From a lady who admitted she was wrong.
And this is in the Wall Street Journal article, too. Reporters went to this woman's house, the original woman who said that her cat had disappeared. Miss Sassy had disappeared, and she thought it might have been immigrants. They went to her house. Miss Sassy was missing for 3 days, and then she found her in her basement and said that with the help of her daughter and apparently some kind of translator app on her phone, she did apologize to her Haitian neighbors while wearing her Trump shirt and hat. And as you said, there have been knockoff effects on this, Dr. Hanks. Libs of TikTok, run by that horrible person, Chaya, whatever her name is, Libs of TikTok, posted incredible footage revealing an operation in Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Haitians are being bused to and from food factories. It's estimated that 90% of their workers are now made up of Haitians. Kamala imported 2,000 Haitians into this town of 4,000 people. This is Libs of TikTok from yesterday. Carmela Bartolotta is a Republican in Pennsylvania responding to this. This isn't true. The business owner provides transportation to workers to get to and from his facility. These aren't immigrants being busted by Kamala. I follow you and repost you, but you're playing into the hands of people who are jeopardizing the safety of children in our local schools. These Haitians are working hard, sending their children to school and opening businesses. They are here legally. And they're not going to stop this. They're not going to stop this rhetoric because he got applause for it yesterday in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
Where to do mass deportations.
Yeah.
Day one, mass deportations. And we still don't have any details on exactly how that is going to work.
That doesn't matter, Jane.
Details. Well, they have concepts of a plan of an idea.
They have concepts. It's all concepts, people.
Mm-hmm. And I would think, too, Dr. Hanks, going back to hedge funds, buying hospitals, the worst, I mean, are there even any private practices anymore? Didn't almost all doctors who had private practices get purchased by some group over the last 15, 20 years?
No, there's still some private practices. And I honestly cannot, you know, quote facts or percentages or numbers. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I am aware of a few private practices, but I, you know, anecdotally have heard about many of them being bought up by kind of bigger groups. It's just really hard to sustain that kind of old business model, almost kind of a throwback to when doctors did house visits and things like that.
Right.
It was like, you know, a different time. So, you know,
that model has gone away.
It has, more or less. And so I admittedly know very little on the business side of medicine, and I want to be better, but I also have so many other things that I'm like, I want to learn about this. So, I do have to kind of, not have a great answer for you on
not,
that one.
Not a problem. One more text I want to share. Wes from Middleton, listening on WMDX in Madison. Take JD's words and listen to them. The patients, documented or not, are getting in the way of the business of healthcare. Think about what that means for a minute. Again, when you have a profit motive in medicine, the outcome, the profits might be better, but the outcomes rarely are.
Yeah.
And if it means closing, as we said, two hospitals, 19 clinics, and firing 14,000 people, that helps your bottom line. That's what they're going to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then somehow it's not their fault.
Never. It so rarely is. It so rarely is their fault.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I mean, when you think about how Wisconsin is kind of set up, our big centers are in Milwaukee and Madison, right? Like, for the most part, yeah. Green Bay is also a pretty big area, but that leaves a big chunk of northern and western Wisconsin in those rural populations. And there are still a lot of people that live there, and getting access to healthcare in our state, if you live in those areas, is becoming harder and harder. And I think that it is very important that we're having this conversation, but dangerous that it's being explained by lies, essentially. You know, it's something that needs to be brought up. And I'm glad that the question was asked in Eau Claire yesterday, and it needs to keep being asked, but someone needs to fact check.
That's always handy. The whole fact-checking thing. Liz from Saukville says, why can't Trump and Vance be held legally accountable for this deplorable lie? Well, unfortunately, Liz, but as J.D. Vance said it yesterday, when a reporter asked him, "What? How can you just continue to lie during your speeches?" He said, it's not my responsibility to do fact checks. That's you.
Yeah.
That's you.
If I have to make up stories to get your attention.
I will.
I will do that.
That's what he said.
Yep.
That's what he said. Coming up.
Anyone else want a drink?
Coming up. It's a new segment we're using to close out our show, and unfortunately, it has a very, very serious twist to it this morning. This should not be a thing. We're going to do that next. Dr. Laura Hanks is here for public cervix announcement. Don't forget to still text the word fun, via the Civic Media app, F-U-N. Text in the word fun before noon as we continue to go for the green and gold, our statewide text to win contest. We'll have more with Dr. Hanks when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio in Waukesha, Dr. Laura Hanks is here for a public cervix announcement. She joins us every Wednesday. If you ever have a medical question for the doctor, you can email it to janesays@civicmedia.us. janesays@civicmedia.us. Dr. Hanks, we've started a new segment to close out the show called This Shouldn't Be a Thing, and normally it's very lighthearted. Not today. Because this really shouldn't be a thing, and this is now happening in our country. An article from ProPublica talking about Amber Nicole Thurman, 28 years old, in Atlanta. She had taken abortion pills, and unfortunately, it did not expel all of the fetal tissue from her body, so she showed up at a hospital in need of a routine procedure, which is called a DNC, to get this out of her body. But just that state, Georgia, had made performing a DNC a felony, with few exceptions. Any doctor who violates this law can be prosecuted and face up to a decade in prison. She waited in the hospital, wondering about her six-year-old boy. She became septic. Her blood pressure started sinking. Her organs began to fail. It took 20 hours for the doctors to operate, and it was too late, and she died. This shouldn't be happening in our country.
Absolutely not. This is inexcusable. And there's so many aspects to this story that are so sad and frustrating and inappropriate in this in 2024. Well, this was 2022 when it happened, but... The first part, you did a great job kind of recapping the story, but one of the parts is that because she wanted an abortion, she was driving out of state and got stuck in traffic and was hoping to get a DNC, but missed the time for it because she was stuck in traffic. Now, remember, certain people say, well, if you want an abortion, just leave the state. It's super easy, right?
No, it ain't no big deal.
This is the kind of stuff that people are encountering when they try to leave the state. She did all the right things. She couldn't make her appointment, so she took pills instead, which is a reasonable option, but it's just frustrating that she wanted the DNC to begin with. So one of the complications that can happen when you take these medications, and it's mifepristone followed by misoprostol, two very safe medications that have been used for many years, and their safety efficacy has been studied over time. the chance of expelling fetal tissue is, I believe, 70%. And then if you have to take a second round of misoprostol, it's up to 90%. So it's not 100%. You know, some people will have retained tissue, and we talk to patients about coming back when you have bleeding and or fevers or chills or abdominal pain, which she had, and she did seek medical care. She did all the right things. And when she went in, a Georgia had this kind of ambiguous, you know, you can do a termination for the life of the mother. Now, what's frustrating is that she had already started the termination, so the doctors wouldn't really be performing a termination per se. It's considered retained, the term is retained products of conception. So that's like one sticking point that I know when we had our 1849 law in force, many of us questioned quite frequently when we had patients like this that would come in and we would be calling our lawyers because, you know, what other part of medicine do you have to call your lawyers to in order to treat your patients except for OBGYN? But I digress. And say, you know, it's retained products. Can I do this procedure? It's for the life of the mother, you know, and for the life of the mother, no one, there's not a definition for that.
It's never been codified. Do you need to be 30% near death, 60% near death, 80% near death? And I talked about this with male colleagues I had at the time, saying, when is it close enough to dead that this woman can get the treatment that she needs? And apparently you have to get septic. And even then, even then, that's not enough.
There's a sepsis and a SIRS criteria that have gone through many iterations, and in every hospital, we, you know, follow the protocol. And so I think that in saying for the life of the mother, they need to start putting in, they met SIRS criteria, they met sepsis. And so, you know, that's what we need as physicians to know, because for the life of the mother is so ambiguous.
Yes, intentionally so.
And I think this is an awful situation for everyone involved. He has a 6-year-old son. I'm going to cry. like he doesn't have a mother.
Yep.
And this could have been avoided. Yep. And I can't imagine what that family's going through, what all of those providers that were involved in the care, you know, it feels like negligence, but I know I've been in that position, and it is, and you're scared for your family. I've called my husband and said, I might have to do this procedure and I might go to prison because I don't know what the law is. Like, there's so much ambiguity, and I need to save this patient, but I need to think about you. Sure. And it's just unfair.
Yeah. It's a mess.
I'm an emotional woman, I guess.
We got about a minute, Dr. Hanks. This shouldn't be a thing. This should not be happening in our country. This should not be happening on a state-by-state basis. This shouldn't be happening at all. We will reconnect next week. Thank you so much for your passion and your honesty and your emotion.
We adore
really
you.
Appreciate it. We'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today. And you have the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.